All right. Hopefully everybody has an outline. It should say the beauty and power of giving thanks in all circumstances. Yeah. Well, I've had to live this one out more than usual this year. And so you haven't lived how you've had your accounts stolen and ripped off from some alien in Czechoslovakia or wherever else it happened. So we've had that happen. So as usual, I'm writing right and so I'm having to live every one of these words I'm telling you. So this is not coming out of a theoretical bottle. I've never been so frustrated, angry in my whole life. I don't know who I'm madder at. Actually, I'm not supposed to say I'm mad, but I kind of still am. At the ones that took it or the ones that let them take it. And then how they treat you afterward, like you're the one that caused this whole thing and you should know more about this. And actually, we don't really know what the heck is going on. So I hope nobody ever has to go through that. That's the worst part of all. Nobody knows what's going on, right? So there's a lot of fraud, a lot of things going on. So I got to write this sermon in the middle of this, right? So here you go, all right? So this is called... this is called The Beauty and Power of Giving Thanks in All Circumstances. A little asterisk, even when you don't feel like being beautiful or very powerful or that God being either one, right? So, but nevertheless, we see these amazing passages. And of course, the Bible is set in a lot of people with trouble. You could just summarize the Bible. Here's how God saving a lot of trouble, a lot of people in trouble. That's what the Bible is about, right? And of course, the central issue is that Jesus Christ gives us the greatest recompense for our trials down here with eternal life and relationship with him forever. And in the process of all this, we learn about how to walk and know, how to walk with and know the Most High God. And so Thanksgiving is a unique place to express that walk and a unique place, I believe, to express tremendous spiritual power and grace. In spiritual warfare where we're dealing with lots of negative activity. So let's look at let's just say then that Thanksgiving is actually an opportunity to express and to actually see how God really works and to walk with God, really. And so I'd like to just read this first passage here. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine? What's God's will? Oh, God, Pastor, please tell me what God's will is. I just don't know what to do. Here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, is there another will maybe out there somewhere? Because my circumstances aren't too great. And so why? Well, we find the reason why we can actually live out of that place in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 32. Some of the most wonderful passages in all the scripture. And we know that in all things, how many things is that?
All.
I'm glad you were so strong on the all. That's good. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all of these things, all this incredible activity that God is working in our life, no matter where we're at in life, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want to say that again. If God's so for you, then who can be against you? I would like to suggest even that maybe one of the main battle lines of our whole walk with God and life is believing that God is actually good, not alone just, right? That he's actually for us, not against us. For you did not spare his own son, and which is the proof of all of it. It always goes back to the cross, by the way. Whatever you want to know about God, always goes back to the cross. It always goes back to a cross with a resurrection. It always goes back into what God did for humanity to be related to him and to be blessed, but not so much what we did for him, right? And so, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him? Now look at this word. This is a really key word here. This is the one I stumble over a little bit, especially when I have trouble or someone ripped me off or something did evil, right? Okay, here we go. How we not also along with him graciously give us all things. That word is a really important word. Graciously give us all things. So that God doesn't need to have his arm turned, pressed against his back, pushed on, or bothered, or beat up, or like, you know, have a worrywart session with. He already knows. He already is graciously given us all things. And if we need to be repaired, we need something to be returned. It's just a matter of time before that happens. And in the process, you get to learn all kinds of good things about God, right? So God's the one, remember, that is the guarantor of this promise, because he gave everything. He gave his only son for us. That's what guarantees good for us. If he would do that for you, even when you've been rebellious and sinful, and all of that, then why would he not also give us all things? Why would he also give us all things, even when we're in the lost and found department right now, where we've lost something precious to us, something's been stolen, something's ripped off, we've been treated unfairly, whatever it is. I know none of you probably have any of these sort of problems, but just in case, maybe there's a few, this might be a benefit for today. Anyway, so let's look at Roman number one here on my outline. Giving glory and thanksgiving to God is the first response of a person who truly believes in Jesus as Lord, who truly believes in Jesus as Lord. And so let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So you see, even back from times, you know, way back from the very beginning, right? God expected thanks. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the opposite of thanksgiving is actually a darkened heart. And I don't know about you, but I got enough trouble as it is without going to a darkened heart. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. So they go to a false worship, right? So they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him. And so at the heart of our relationship with the Lord is giving thanks. So we have thanksgiving. But, you know, sometimes we get detached from the meaning of that. The whole meaning of it was that these brave warriors, these brave pilgrims, these brave people came across the Atlantic in search of freedom. In search of freedom, and primarily the beginning in search of not only just general freedom, but freedom to worship God however they wanted to, right? That's why Thanksgiving is such a huge thing for us. And so when they came to this land, even though it was very difficult, very, very, the story of the pilgrims was not an easy story, landing this wild land. But as they landed, they began to celebrate this thing we call Thanksgiving, and it's gone in our nation history for these last several hundred years, and I just think it's just really amazing. It should be one of the top holidays in all of our life, not only to celebrate, you know, as the organization or as a family or whatever, but also to celebrate every day of our life. And that's a critical thing. Thanksgiving is part of the everyday worship of our life, and it's very, very powerful, right, when we go there. After we receive Jesus, our whole life should be one big thank you, Lord. One big thank you in response. That's almost like a great way to describe the Christian life. It's just one great thank you. So the thing is, obviously, if you forget the very headwaters of your life, what he did for you, and we don't understand the meaning of it, then it's hard to say thank you for that great event, even when you've been in church for 10 years or 11 years, maybe especially if you've been in church for maybe your whole life even, learning to say thank you, even in difficult situations, is part of your worship to God. This doesn't happen. It can happen in here, certainly, by even coming and thanking God, but in our everyday life where no one sees that grateful spirit. And so I've been going back through this lesson, Thankfulness 101 all over again. This is a very different lifestyle, by the way, than a religious person, right? We're talking about relationship here, not religion, right? And of course, you know, around the dinner table when everybody gives thanks, how many of you had your prayer for your food turn into quite a ritual, you know? Or, you know, the kids are there and they can't wait to eat, you know, and say the prayer as short as possible, and taking any amount of time there is like a bother for everybody. But those places and the stuff we come to grips with, actually, how really benefited we really are and how blessed we really are So the problem is sometimes we've always had food on the table like that, and we never had to visit another country or be in a situation maybe as intensely as other people have, of when that's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that you're going to have something to eat, right? And that is a tendency in your life when you do have enough to always remember to be a little grateful. And but nevertheless, there's plenty of trouble to go around to challenge you to be grateful of what God does for you, right? So whether it's the dinner table or something else in your life, God always creates these opportunities or allows these opportunities for us to be able to be tested in this thing of thanksgiving. Matter of fact, as we receive Jesus, like I said, our whole life should be one big thank you. And one of the reasons why that is because the Spirit's operating on the inside of us. So we find, for example, in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So we're actually loving in response to something. The very Spirit of God, this is why we emphasize this so much and like to talk about love so much, because with love, there's this experience with God that's heartfelt, and the thanksgiving that pours out of that love is quite amazing, and it's way different than religious activity or just trying to make sure that you get to church or do something that covers your fire insurance, you know, for another week, right? So I was there with you, Lord, and please don't let anything bad happen to me. What a horrible way to look at life. Let me give you a hint. Bad's going to happen to you whether you come to church or not, right? And I'm not sure even if it's even less bad, other than we have the keys to get through bad. I think that's probably what's more true, because bad things happen to good people, but we got the resource to deal with them. And also, we got to admit, through these situations, we fall more in love with Jesus, more close to God than ever in those sort of situations. And it keeps us from being spoiled brats. And the only problem with spoiled brats, this is the main one, is first of all, it stinketh before the Lord. Second of all, the devil loves this whole activity. So he takes advantage of you when you get in one of those ungrateful spaces and beats you up some more. He says, oh, I am so happy for your ungratefulness and your hardness. It's so great. Here, have some more of what you've been eating already, right? And so this is a relational issue we're talking about here with regard to Thanksgiving. We're talking about just what every child learns from the very beginning, right? We can't stand it. And it stinketh in heaven as well, that when little kids are not grateful and they have this attitude that they develop somehow or another, it's time for some change, right? Because that's like one of our worst fears as parents, to have these snotty, ungrateful kids. And it just makes child rearing a very big pain, right? It's no longer happy. So it's so important that we learn to teach them and that we learn to demonstrate that ourselves. And we need to do that very thing that we're expecting of our kids that we can recognize so easily. We need to recognize it when that thing starts popping up in our own spirit. Because I've noticed in my own spirit, it comes up much more often than I thought. I live in the greatest country in the whole world. I live in a beautiful place, the neighborhood. We have the greatest church in the whole planet, I think. You know, it's just, you know. That might be a little exaggeration, but anyway. But I like it all, right? And I need to be grateful for what I have and thankful for how God is the one that said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. Aren't you glad that Jesus said that?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't say, I came that they might have religious life and get depressed with every part of it. No, it's not that, right? It's something bubbling up from the inside. The very presence of God causes a spirit of thankfulness. It brings a whole other point of view. That's why we talk about the Holy Spirit so much. We need more of God because he's so hopeful. He's in his nature. When you have more of God, you're hopeful and helpful and thankful and grateful. When you have less of God and you get that little religious spirit, which is the opposite of God, then you become mean-spirited, depressed, and discouraged, right? And we don't want to go there, do we? So one of the surefire tales that you're actually in a negative place like that is just by your lack of gratitude. And you can't remember one good thing that ever happened to you, you know, in the past. And so it's so important that we remember our testimonies. Look at Colossians 3:15-17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. I like that. So you're actually, in your walk with Jesus, called to peace. That word is shalom. It's a big word. Peace in your finances. It's a broad word. It does not just mean like an inner peace, but it's your whole area, your whole life. You're called to having rest in every area of your life. Even when you're not experiencing a good thing, like I haven't been experiencing this week. It's still, there's an inner side of this, a peace. If you can't get in my inside, you can't have anything to do with my outside. If my inside's at rest, then the outside will take care of itself. So the enemy's main goal is to get the inside of you ungrateful, mean-spirited, depressed, discouraged, and disillusioned all the time. And it makes for a very, very bad outward person, doesn't it? So God's always working on our thank you button. Because there is a place where it sort of tells out, right? It's sort of when you know, when you can say thank you, even in the midst of trouble, you know you've got a hold of something. And mean it, right? So there have been days this week when I didn't mean it so much, and then I hurried back, and then I meant it again. Right? So there is that little battle, right? So let's do this. Let's read this again. Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, just such as, since as members of one body you were called to peace. That's interesting. Part of our calling as Christians is for peace, especially peace on the inside. And be thankful, he says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, so as you teach and admonish one another with all his wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So part of the reason why God likes our worship is he likes the gratitude in the words. He likes the attention to him and the gratefulness for all the things that he's done for us, right? And that's what we get to express in these little songs. And whatever you do, that's a pretty big word. Okay, so we haven't read the rest of the verse yet. Whatever you do, wow, whether in word or deed, that makes it even more expansive, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then why, as you're doing it, what are you doing? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. What a remarkable passage of Scripture. And by the way, I've found that this is an easier lifestyle than living the other way. Ungrateful spirit that comes and overtakes your soul is the last thing that any parent wants to see of their three-year-old. I suggest to you it's probably the last thing the father wants to see in your spirit either, right? That snotty-nosed attitude where I deserve everything and you don't give me enough and you're always shorting me, that goes right in through the teenage years and hopefully somewhere it departs and moves into a little bit of reality as our children begin to face reality. But more importantly, if they begin to get a perspective on the generosity and the kindness of Jesus Christ. Like, look at Luke 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And then, of course, Samaritans hated Jews, and Jews hated Samaritans. They were their dread enemies. And so this guy gets healed, and so he's a Samaritan. I'm not sure how many were Samaritans among the 10. But anyway, "We're not all 10 cleansed," Jesus said. "Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Wow. What an amazing thing that is, this little verse. It reveals to you so much about God, God and his heart. And so it's so much a praise and thanksgiving. It's so much a part of who we are in our relationship with the Lord. When we begin to live in that thankful way, what happens is we're really telling the universe, including the demons around that are wanting to take advantage of us, we know what the score is, really. We know that we were actually nothing and God made us everything. We know that God came to make us have life and have it abundantly, even when the thief was stealing and killing and destroying us. We know that the only life that we have is through Jesus Christ. The only hope we have of a good life on this planet is Jesus, and the only hope that we have of having an eternal good life is Jesus. And so that is just at the core of all of our worship. And so I think when we understand that, there can't be nothing, anything but thanksgiving, right? It's amazing how thanksgiving just sort of evaporates in our life. And I love this holiday. I think it should be one of the most wonderful holidays we celebrate, because thanksgiving is so much a part of the integral part of our walk with God and what God expects. We think God expects a lot of us, right? Do this, do that, do this. But actually, it's amazing how many references there are to thanksgiving in the Bible and a thankful heart and a thankful spirit. That's one of the first things he likes, believe it or not, that thanksgiving. Because if he cared enough to shed blood and die for you, he cares enough to help you with your everyday stuff. And also, he loves you so much that if he would do that, he knows he's going to always be with you in heaven. And it's so nice that when he sees one of his children just happy and walking along with him, even in the spite of difficult circumstances, maybe I would say especially in spite of difficult circumstances, I think it warms his heart. We can feel the spirit inside of us rejoicing as well. And so I think this giving thanks is something that the Lord wants from our worship, but I think it's rather learned behavior. We have to sort of learn in that context. We have to learn how to do this over time, and we get better and better at hopefully the older we get. You know, I'm just hoping as I get older, I get sweeter, right? I want to get sweeter, not meaner, right? And I've seen it go the other way in my own family, and I definitely want to be sweeter, not meaner, right? So you can quote that back to me next time I get crotchety, Janice. Sweeter, not meaner. Especially toward me. So if you look at Romans number 2 on your outline, salvation is a very relational issue. I think we've already sort of understand that. That's why the Bible calls us sons and daughters when we come to Christ. One of the first things we teach our kids and their relational skills as our sons and daughters is how to say thank you and express appreciation. Isn't that one of the first things that we want from our children? Because they really are learning at an early age to not be appreciative, right? Well, in the Lord, it's the same with us. One of the first things he expects is a life of thanksgiving. That's one of his first things he expects for us as a new believer. And also the cost that he paid to get us there is probably more than adequate to have a life of thanksgiving. The sacrifices of the Old Testament forecast the atoning death of Jesus, terminating the state of alienation between God and man. The sin and burnt offerings, which covered sin, were later fulfilled in Jesus Christ's offering on the cross. So the sin and burnt offerings that were being offered at that time as part of the ritualistic religion of the Jews was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that's why it was so precious to God. There was another kind of sacrifice called fellowship offerings or peace offerings that declared the beauty of our fellowship and communion with God. So even in the Old Testament, they have this sacrifice called the thank offering declared the beauty of our time with the Lord. Included in these offerings were the thanksgiving offerings, which acknowledged God's mercies to the one presenting the offering. In later Judaism, the thanksgiving offering came to be valued as the highest type of sacrifice. So in the thanksgiving offering, there was, you know, the sacrifice and animals and rituals and so on, but the value behind it, what it was declaring was the highest type. The Jews valued that the most. And there was a lot of different kinds of offerings they did. But the thanksgiving offering is the one that became first and foremost. Appreciation is the key to any relationship. We warm each other's heart with it. We also warm God's heart with it. And so it turns out this whole thing of appreciation is something that God's looking for, maybe more than we could have imagined. I think when we think about God and what he wants from us, what he's thinking about when he thinks about us, I'm not sure that I would have always put thanksgiving near the top of the list, but you see these stories and you realize what God's looking for in the worship, this appreciation. And of course, one thing that we've learned with regard to some of our relationships with one another and even some of the teaching we've given is we've learned how powerful appreciation is in everyday relationships. And that reminds me, maybe we should get that. Brent, I think I commission you in Jesus' name. I need you to preach another sermon on that because I haven't heard that for a while. The way appreciation works in our everyday relationships and how powerful it is in terms of keeping healthy relationships, regardless of between it's a husband and a wife or between a son and a daughter toward their parents or grandparents or whatever. I think everybody likes to receive and feel appreciated. Am I right? And then it's very much a part of our relationship. But wonder if you don't have appreciation for the Lord. Wonder if you forget that part. Wonder if you've become hardened and a little bit demanding, you know, and maybe you haven't taken your temperature lately, but you realize that's kind of where you've been. And of course, we see in the scripture that God is not really fond of complaining. That's one reason why it's great to read the Old Testament and the New Testament. You kind of figure out the kind of things he's fond of and things he's just not so fond of, right? And so I want to read from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. It's, again, there's a couple of things going on in this story. First of all, the beauty of sacrificial worship, which you gave here and put on the altar today. Sacrificial offering, just the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, just coming here with your time and energy, bringing your kids, telling God once again and all the demons and angels around that, you know, in my family, God's number one. And there's this one day of the week where I come together like all my ancestors through the centuries, all the way back to the first ancestors that began to know God, all the way back to Abraham. And those ancestors, together with my relatives and people that I know here, this is what we do. We come together and we worship and we give a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So we see this wonderful story. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. This was actually a quite expensive gift, by the way. It wasn't just a little bit. It was very, very expensive. Thousands and thousands of dollars in our terms. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. So the Pharisee is worried in his own religious way about this sinner touching him. She was defiled. She had no business touching a leader, right? Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came to your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her hair and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. Now, obviously, some cultural background here with the washing of the feet and the greeting, right? You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And we could say with it, thanks very little. Right? When you know you've loved a lot, been loved a lot, you didn't deserve it, you were on the wrong path, you're going the wrong direction, then you love Jesus all the more, right? And other people who helped you along the way. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests begin to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I think that's an interesting line there. Your faith has saved you. So when we are thankful, when we are rejoicing, even in difficult circumstances and in good circumstances, we're exercising our faith. And faith is what makes the world go round, right? Faith is what makes the world go round. When we believe and we trust God, it's amazing that thing called faith, what it brings to our life. Like I just suggest to you, I think that a number of you probably are believing God for miracles and signs and wonders and things to happen. But sprinkling the thanksgiving in it along the way really helps your faith. Yes. You know, see what I'm saying? Because you could actually be, and I've watched people, you know, contend, so to speak, with the Lord. And I think there is some contention. But sometimes they're kind of violent or mean or whatever. I'm thinking, like, wow, like, I think that thanksgiving actually provides so much faith. It's actually looking beyond what you're praying for and looking in advance, and at the same time, it's looking back at what God's already done. And between the back, looking backward and looking forward in a spirit of thanksgiving, I think it salts your prayers. By that, I mean it makes your prayers taste good in heaven, right? Because I think in those two demonstrations of thanksgiving, you're expressing faith. And I really like that. And so equating thanksgiving with faith is a big thing. And I think that even if you say thanks and you're not feeling that grateful, I think it's a very good habit to do anyway, because eventually your feelings will catch up with you. That's what I found. Eventually your feelings will catch up with you. And even if it doesn't, one thing you're doing when you say thank you is you're expressing faith, you're expressing love, you're expressing the very things that are at the core of walking with God, right? So let's look at Psalm 104 for a moment. And thanksgiving and praise enhance the closeness and presence of God, something I've been saying. And as we get to 1 Thessalonians, we'll see some of the same. But I love this little psalm. It's just so perfect for today, and it's so perfect for as we think about Thanksgiving and moving into the Thanksgiving holiday. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Sheep are very, very good examples of human beings for lots of reasons. But that's a whole other sermon. So look what he says now. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with what?
Praise.
So you move closer to God when you give thanksgiving and you give him praise. So the picture is the temple, right? So there's the gateway into the temple, and there's the outer courts, and then there's the outer part of the temple, and there's the Holy of Holies, of the inner part of the temple, then the Holy of Holies. So there's this progression, right? So we enter his gates with thanksgiving, this court of like knock knock, you know, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So you're coming in. That's why we always do worship at the beginning. It's part of this coming in to the presence of the Lord. We're not just coming in for rituals or we're doing a favor to God or somebody else. We're coming in with the thanksgiving, the praise that's in our heart. And even when we don't feel so thankful and praise, we do it anyway. And it really helps you a lot. Why does it help you a lot? Because it takes you one step closer to the Holy of Holies, where the Lord is. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Isn't it interesting that the Lord just put these things in place, thanksgiving and praise, these things in place, to move into this spiritual Holy of Holies, meaning a little feeling, a little more intimate with the Lord, a little close to God. I do that every time. I mean, I sometimes, you know, even I'm giving the sermon, I'm dragging in here, you know, thinking about this, thinking about that. But when the worship begins, it's just so beautiful because I'm moving closer to God. I can feel that, you know, and sometimes, you know, this takes me a couple of songs to get into everything, right? You know, and I'm the one that's supposed to have this amazing sermon for everybody to listen to, you know, and I'm fighting through just getting here myself, which is a nasty little secret we don't want to talk about too much, but I can't tell you how many pastors face this. You know, you think they're just sort of floating in a cloud somewhere because they've been studying pray, and they don't. They usually just sort of drag in, right? And then they have to, and all kinds of little things have this tendency to go sideways, and it's just sometimes it's hard, you know. But when the worship starts, I'm good, just like everybody else. So, but you know, in the bad stuff or the good stuff, here's a very interesting, challenging scripture. I just want to take a moment just to, you know, challenge you here, because we're going to get to something that's really, really important in our life about worship. Okay, so just prepare you. So when you're in the negative place, when you're in a place where circumstances aren't so good, maybe there's even persecution or there's been failure or something went wrong. So then we see this verse, which was actually the New Testament church walked this out on a level that perhaps we can't imagine. And we have the stories and we have the record of how they died, many of them. And so this is in the backdrop of all this. Rejoice always. Ooh, always. Like even when the bank steals your money. I don't think I did too good with rejoicing this time, Janice. I'm repenting as I'm preaching. Okay. I mean, you haven't lived till you've gone through one of these things where actually somebody takes the money out of your account, then takes even money that aren't in the account in your name, and then you go in to talk to the bank, and the bank blames it on you. You haven't lived till you had one of those. It's just a grateful, wonderful experience, right? So unfortunately, I lost my rejoice button about 3/4 of the way through. So I'm still repenting of that a little bit. But anyway, even there, I should have been rejoicing, but I wasn't. But it would have been probably wiser and better if I did in the long run. First of all, as we're going to get through this, here's the main reason. The rejoicing thing isn't necessarily for all the people around you that see how happy you are. Rejoicing is an attitude. It's something you're exerting in the heavens, because I guarantee you, behind my little mishap that's going on in every mishap, there's a fair number of demons involved. In this case, the thing with your money and the whole this thing in our system, it's amazing. They're all coordinated to say the same dumb things and try to get you to do the same dumb things. And it's just like an amazing thing. It's like a coordinated, like, hellhole, basically. So... any of you that have been experienced something like that, where something was unfairly stole from you and taken and everything, or some kind of other injustice, there's lots of people here that have experienced injustice, something that wasn't right, somebody, something did to you that wasn't right. And here's the Lord's answer to it. I can't, I got to get this out of my, rejoice always. Okay, I got it out. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You got to be kidding me. And then it says, to kick your tail right out the door, do not quench the spirit. Okay. So, Lord, I want to repent because I quenched the spirit a lot. I did every one of these backwards, and now I'm back here learning, telling everybody what I learned, and going back to the place where I should have been at the beginning. Thank you very much. Okay. So I'm really not that grateful and not feeling that great still, but there's something else here that sort of cheer you up a little bit. Thanksgiving is directly connected to breakthrough in our lives. Oh, yeah. So if I would like to see said money come back, or a breakthrough with one of these wonderful bank tellers and individuals I've been dealing with on the phone, if I want that, it's actually directly connected, this breakthrough I would get if said people started cooperating and helping me instead of blaming me. We actually got blamed last night. We're on the phone to this store where somebody wandered in, you know, again, it was even beyond my money. It was just using my name. I got the check. You know, you're looking at the check, you know. They signed my name. First of all, they don't sign their my name like I do. I never use my first name. I always put my first letter, then I never do that. So that's first thing. Second of all, they signed their name even more crappy than I do. It looked horrible. So it wasn't me, right? So... why did I say all that just now? I got off track. Sorry, Lord. Oh, here it is. It's directly connected to breakthrough in our lives. And Bill Johnson says one of the most profound things that, and he backed it up with scripture, and I'm going to read this scripture, but I've been living off of this, what he said, for many years now. Not many, but I'd say 10 for sure. So, how you remember your last miracle is how you face your next problem. Wow. I'll say it again. Bill said this, but then we're going to read it here. How you remember your last miracle is how you face your next problem. And so these miracles that you've experienced in the past are meant to help you with the difficulties in the present and in the future. Well, okay, I will. Those problems, that stinking stuff that you experience, right? What do I say from there? I give thanksgiving in the middle of them, right? Because how I remember my last miracle is how I'm going to face that stinky problem. So my miracles are, this is a big thing. Evidently I didn't learn it as well as I should, but I have had more sparkling moments in the past, right? Remembering what God's done for me, because I've been really trying to do that for my whole life ever since I heard him say that. And then I realized it was in Scripture. I've tried to really realize that don't waste your miracles. When you get a miracle from the Lord, write it down, remember it, because you can take that miracle and pay it forward. See, this is what you did before God. The Bible is just that. That's what the Bible is about, writing down all the miracles of God so you could remember what happened to somebody else and apply it to your life. But sometimes when something happens in our life, we forget when God was good or how he planned, in this case, how he's always provided for me financially. There's never been a time he didn't. And most of the time in my life, been quite crazy miraculous. So what I did was I forgot all that and didn't apply it, right? But it's so important, and it's actually extremely powerful in our lives when we do that. Thanksgiving is directly connected to the breakthrough in your life. So how you remember your last miracle is how you face your next problem. In other words, you're paying forward. God, you did it then, you'll do it again. And God has this habit of really liking faith. He said in the Scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So where you get your faith from is the promises of Scripture, and who's filled with all the testimonies of how God dealt with them. But you also have your own testimonies and the Scripture, right? So learning to pay that into your... I'm feeling better already, Janice. I think I just need to preach this, so I believe it, actually. I'm feeling better already. So look at Psalm 106. Look at verse 7. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. Oh. See, that's what happens when you get angry like that. It's like God never did anything nice for you your whole life, right? It's like everything's down to zero, right? Wow. That's really dumb if you sit and think about it. But you do dumb things, right? And so this is why the Scripture are here. They remind us, okay, over and over again. They gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Ooh, so when you get in that place, you actually, not only is it bad, but you begin to rebel, especially when you have hardship. And also, guess what? What's the whole Red Sea thing about? What's the whole Exodus about? I'm on the way to something better, and I'm complaining all the way that I'm not on the way to something better. Matter of fact, I could probably short-circuit, like the children of Israel, the better I was about to experience. Their children got to experience it, but they didn't, because they short-circuited, because they couldn't remember, they couldn't give thanksgiving. If that's not a lesson in God, I don't know what is. Wow. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about the will of God, the temperament of God, the way God works, right? So we want to get on the other side of this into thanksgiving as fast as possible when we have trouble, right? You say, yet you saved them for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. None of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done. Now, this is the part where we really need to remember. We like to declare ourselves, we like to say that we believe in signs and wonders and miracles. And it's so important that we actually take that of believing in signs and wonders and start applying them to the people around us and to our own life for the next problem that comes along. It's not meant to be in a dusty closet somewhere. It's meant to pay forward. So when they soon forgot what he had done, they couldn't remember. Maybe part of the Red Sea killed all those soldiers, and then they go to this promised land and see a few soldiers, and they're freaking out over the whole thing and did not wait for his plan to unfold. That's another thing. So how many know that even the Scripture says, I have plans for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. But here's the interesting thing about plans. Like any plan, if you're going to build a house, you would have plans. But do the plans work out all at once? No, they unfold, don't we, right? They unfold. And they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. We don't like that. We want instant houses, instant coffee, instant everything, right? We don't like plans that unfold. But let me tell you a secret, which I blew completely this week, but I'm recuperating in the form of this sermon, right? Thanksgiving helps you to remember his plans and wait patiently. No, I'm going to say this differently. Watch carefully for them to unfold, because in a place where you're angry, in the place where you've felt betrayed in some way or another, when you're in that negative place, it's so important that you keep your head clear enough, because the Bible says there's no temptation such as common to a man, but with the temptation, and you could translate that testing, He provides the way out. So when you're thankful and grateful and your heart's in the right spirit, you see the way out of your trouble. When you're at the negative place, you couldn't see your way out of your trouble if you were hit with a bat, you know. And believe me, then another experience I've had as a pastor is counseling other people. Like, you may be smug as a pastor in your own thing, doing pretty good. Then you watch some other knucklehead come in there with his problem, right? And forgetting everything that God's did in the past. Now remember one thing, and you may know this person pretty well. They can't remember one good thing God ever did for them, right? And you see the predicament they're in. Because I could counsel them all they want, but they have to go back to Thanksgiving. They have to go back to worship. They have to go back to, Jesus, I love you again, right? And then guess what? You start remembering what God has done. And when you remember what God's done in Thanksgiving, then you're ready to see the plan unfold. And the plan that unfolds in front of you may be quite supernatural. It may be something that you need to take a risk on. It may be a step of faith you need to take with you. So your past provides the fuel for taking that step for the future. As a matter of fact, I begin to realize more and more this is one of the reasons why we go through these things, is so that we will have a better future. A better future. And evidently, I need a better future. So I've just gone through something for a better future. And I thought I was doing pretty good, but now I may know I'm going to even get a better one, right? And it's so important because they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan. So here's another one. I know the plans I have for you, right? What's the rest of it? Plans to prosper you and to give you a future and hope, right? Wonderful. I love that scripture so much. But thanksgiving is at the front end of that. Learn to be grateful for the Lord so you can see the plans and be a part of the plans. That's another thing. God loves for you to be a part of the plans that he's unfolding, the good plans, right? So thanksgiving in your circumstances in the present help you see the plans for the future and walk in them even before they happen. As a matter of fact, if you want to get real fancy, you could start thanking God for what's going to happen in advance of them even happening, right? So this thanksgiving is such an ally. It's such a blessed way. He wants us to say thank you because it's the way of God. It's the way to get along with God. It's the way to move in the Spirit. It's the way to move in power. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave into their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. Man, I don't want to get what I hoping for, and then I get a wasting disease. And the whole problem, I mean, who... Whoa. I mean, so he gives it like this. Here, take it. You know, and it may kick you on the way out, you know, or something, right? It's just not good. But, you know, he knows eventually, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the Spirit's inside of you, he will bring you back to the place where you act like a normal child of God is supposed to react, and you begin to do the right thing, right? So this... These psalms and these verses, I think, are so powerful for us. And Psalm 106 is just such an instructive thing. And I just want to say it again. But they soon forgot what he had done, so they were in a great place. They did not wait for his plan to unfold. So they got impatient, thinking, okay, there's no plan here. I'm doomed. There's no plan here. I like just to speak to somebody that you will not want to admit this, but if you think about it in a moment, that's exactly where you are. You're not too excited about the past, and you don't think there's much chance of a new plan, a better plan unfolding. So if I could minister to you for a moment, I'm just going to say in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray you'd help anybody that's in that place get out. Get out of jail quick so they can go on with their life. And I pray, God, you'd put inside them a great spirit of thanksgiving so that they can see again. Even if the trial has been a while, Lord, sometimes I think we need to start over. I don't know. But in the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to test. He gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. So he answers their prayer, but he like puts something in there. Evidently, God really likes Thanksgiving. And he wants you to have a good memory. And he wants you to know that he has the best, because I think what happens when you get in that negative space, he said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And when you get on the other side of the ledger, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So what you're basically doing is calling him the devil, right? When you have a bad time. Well, there's trouble on this planet. There's difficulty. People steal, kill, and do all kinds of crazy things, but Jesus didn't come for that. So he came that they might have life and abundantly. So if we really believe that life and abundant life, then our Thanksgiving quotient should measure up that somewhere or another. There should be some Thanksgiving in there that actually, and these are very basic promises of Scripture, aren't they? So if you look at 4b on your outline, giving thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians 5. And I think I'm just going to start with verse 18. Just rejoice always, pray continually. I've already mentioned this, but I want to say it again. Give thanks in how many? I just want to underline this one. All. Man, that all circumstances is kind of tough sometimes. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What, the trouble? No. Giving thanks is God's will for you in all circumstances. The one that works all things together for your good. Then the next line here is a really key thing. Now, I want to mention this. This is why I came back to it. Do not quench the Spirit. So we want to be filled with the Spirit, right? We're a church that prides ourselves on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what douses it? Well, this little thing called lack of gratefulness, right? It can just, and a whole church could be in that place. In other words, you could just be so like full of yourself and so proud and everything, you don't remember anything God's done for you, and you become just sort of like spoiled brats or whatever. I think it could happen to a whole group of people. It did happen to a whole group of people, right? So I don't want that. So giving thanks in all circumstances, here as we see in verse 18, softens my troubles and releases my faith. Thanksgiving helps me remember my unique standing and testimonies with God, not only verbally, but emotionally. This is an important one. Not only verbally, but emotionally. When you get the hang of this, you'll begin to experience it inside. At first, with this Thanksgiving you're giving, especially in your troubles, you're kind of doing it by rote. But as you do it enough of it, you begin to feel it emotionally. Sometimes you get something's knocked you so hard, it's hard to get to that place. But if you keep giving Thanksgiving and instead of murmuring, if you keep doing this before the Lord, eventually, and guess what? You'll feel it emotionally. So I pay forward my past victories into the new problem and find the faith and grace of God to wait for his plan to unfold, which we read about in 106:13. Notice the connection between Thanksgiving and breakthrough in Psalm 50, another great psalm in this whole direction that we're talking about. Sacrifice thank offerings. Now, this was part of the normal ritual of the Jewish people in the time of the Old Testament, but it was actually foretasting or foretelling something that the New Covenant people that began to walk with God would do, including the Jews who walk with God, right? All of us that are in the family. So they did thank offerings then, but we do thank offerings today. And I think a thank offering, it's fair to say, giving thanks in a situation where you're not feeling so great, where you're not feeling so good, and you thank God anyway. That's like it costs you something. It costs you something to move into the space of Thanksgiving. It costs you something. And sometimes it's not easy to move in because it costs you so much to move into that place. Now, it doesn't make any sense why we'd rather stay in the ungrateful place. It just somehow feeds our flesh. So we actually exchange the flesh for the spirit. The flesh is, dwell on your problems. That guy deserves it. Get more and more bitter. But that's your flesh. And there's a little gratification in feeding your flesh sometimes. But in the end, it's death, right? But feeding your spirit, God's spirit with you, is a whole different thing, right? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And then look what he says, the very next line, which is so cool, all right? This is so great about the beauty and power of giving thanks in all circumstances. Look at, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you'll honor me. So before the miracle, in the middle of the miracle, and after the miracle, right? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. And you, what? It's like a sandwich. On the other side, you'll thank God again, right? You thank him in advance. You thank him for the meat of the matter. And you thank him for the other side, right, of the sandwich. It's just like, so I just encourage you to go out and eat Thanksgiving sandwiches today. In Jesus' name. Maybe it'll help you remember. So worship, prayer, and Thanksgiving are a beautiful recipe for the presence of God and breakthrough in your life. And so I'll finish here with Philippians chapter 4. So this is what Paul says. And remember, Paul has personal experience with this because this is how he got out of jail one day. And I just like to say, this is the background behind Philippians. Remember, he was thrown in jail right? And he began to worship, and the jail cell opened, and out he goes, right? This happened in Philippi. So he's returning them to what they already knew had happened. That's how the church of Philippi started. It started with worship. While they were worshiping, the jail cell came open, their bondages fell. The jailer wanted to commit suicide. Said, no, don't commit suicide. You know, we're all here. And that's how the church was birthed. They knew full well this story. So now he's teaching them. He's got this in the letter to the who? The Philippians, right? So he must have been remembering how he got out of jail in Acts chapter 16, or at least reminding them. Rejoice in the Lord always. He really likes that one. So he says, I will say it again. Like, you can't say this enough. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. So he's listening, watching. He's watching your behavior. He's always near. I just think that one of the great heritages that we have as the United States of America is Thanksgiving. Because our ancestors understood what it took to found the nation. They understood the amazing provision they were given. And then Abraham Lincoln put it formally into place right near the Civil War, if not right in the middle of it, right in the 60s, right, when all the trouble was happening. This is when Thanksgiving was created as a holiday. Isn't that amazing? Thanksgiving isn't for the light of heart. I mean, it is a heavy-duty weapon, so to speak, in our arsenal. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So it's like it salts your prayers and makes them taste good. Present your request to God. And look what he says. I suppose if you get good enough at this, this verse 7 happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So then he goes on. He talks about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. Think about these things, right? And I just think this verse 7, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is definitely a part of the beauty and power of giving thanks in all circumstances. But it not only is that, but it because it's just the right thing to do, whether God does anything at the moment or whatever. But I think as you think of this as a lifestyle, think of it as leading to right thinking and faith, which then leads you to answers for difficult problems. When you're in bondage with regard to thanksgiving and praise and worship God, not rejoicing in all things, that what happens is your mind gets cluttered, you get in jail a little bit, and you can't think straight. So this is actually a recipe for success, what we're talking about here, isn't it? A recipe for success. I could have titled this little sermon, A Recipe for Success. Amen? Why don't we all stand? Thank you, Lord. So I just encourage you today, before we go, to take just a little bit of time to worship. But I think that what would be a really cool thing to do with your time here is just take maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And not all of you may want to do this, but it might be good for us to finish the sermon this way. Why don't you come up to the front and give thanks for something. Just take 5 minutes as we're worshiping, or 3 minutes or something, and tell God thank you. You could do it from your chair, but if you do it from up here, might be even someone come along and pray for you, all right? So why don't you just come up. Lord, I pray that as we come and as we spend some time here before the altar of the Lord, remember our thanksgiving today. Remember our thanksgiving today, because some of us are going to be singing, and our situation, like mine at the moment, isn't so great. But Lord, we give you a thank offering anyway. And Lord, we look for the rest of the equation, that you would actually tell us what to do, that you would make a way for us as we give thanks today. You would open doors in our life that no man could close. You would even help us to pray in the midst of it. You would lighten our emotions, but importantly, you would clear our mind so we could think your thoughts. So why don't you guys down here, move down here a little bit, make room for everybody. That last thing I said, I think, is important. Lord, as we give thanksgiving and praise today, I pray you would clear our thoughts. And as we give you a thank offering today and a praise offering today, I pray that you would reward that by showing us the way to walk, Lord. And I pray also while we're doing this, you would take away our enemies. Lord, you would deliver us from evil, Lord. Just as Israel warred with thanksgiving and praise and you defeated their enemies, I pray you would defeat the enemies. The enemies that are taking and stealing from us, causing problems, whether they're human enemies or spiritual enemies. Lord, we pray, God, you would deal with our stuff as we face you. I pray, God, you would face our enemies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. It was so great to have you with us. If you have any questions about our church or if you need prayer in any way, please visit our website at vineyardln.com. See you next time.